Today's daf is actually Nun Beis, but we're still on Nun Aleph. Nun Aleph, Amud Aleph. On the fifth line from the top, Amalei Bakapora, brought to the Rebbe. Yeah? Amalei Bakapora, brought to the Rebbe. Bakapora said to Rebbe's daughter, so this continues off from yesterday's story about Bakapora. First he got Brogus that he wasn't invited to the wedding. And then he made Rebbe laugh by putting the basket on his head. Now, Amale Bakapora brought to Rebbe. Bakapora said to Rebbe's daughter, so this was the sister of the Chassan. It was Reb Shimon Rebbe's wedding. So it was the sister. He says, Lemochar, tomorrow by the Chassana, Shasina Chamra Berikuda Diavuch Uvikirkani Diimach. I'm going to drink wine while your father dances for me and your mother sings for me. So he was sort of, he was that kind of a guy, Bar Kapora. So what happened? Ben Elosha was Chasna de Rebbe Hava. Ben Elosha was the son-in-law of Rebbe. He was married to Rebbe's daughter. So this was, I presume it's the husband of this Brate de Rebbe that he was talking to. The Osher Godelhaven, he was a very rich guy. Asmane lebehilula to Reb Shimon Berebi, and Bakapora was invited to the Chasana, and of course Ben Elosha was also there, as we talked about yesterday. There's Amale Bakapora Rebbe, so they're at the wedding. Bakapora says to Rebbe, as part of the wedding ceremony, he says to him, "My te'eva." How do you translate the word Te'eva? That's a normal thing you would ask somebody at a wedding, yeah? How do you translate the word Te'eva? It's called Amale Rebbe Dehochenhu. Whatever Rebbe would answer that this is the Pshat, Dehochenhu Te'eva, this is the Pshat of Te'eva, Parcha Barkapara upschlugged all of his explanations. As Amale Parshayat. So Rebbe said to Barkapara, "No, so you tell me, since everything I say you obschlug, so you tell me what the answer is." And Zomalei, so he says to him, "Oh, not so fast. Teise de vischu, your wife should first come and tirmeli natla, and she should pour for me a cup of wine. Yeah, first let's get some l'chaim. Let's have a l'chaim first. Yeah, it's ostas ramalei. So she came and she poured it for him. Amale Rebbe. Then he told Rebbe, "Kum rekaidli." And also, now you should get up and dance for me. The Amar Lach, in order that I should tell you. So he did it. It's Hachi Amar Achmana. This is what the Torah means. Te'eva, the word Te'eva is Toye Ateba. That you're making, you're for blundering, I think is the best translation of Toye. Hey? Straying, okay. And because this is the word Tayeva, which it says about Mishkav Schur, yeah, very topical. So you're going away from what's normal, and you're going after what's not normal. Okay, Lakasa Achrina. When he got to the next cup of wine, is Amalei. So he says to him, the next question was my Tevil. So it says Tevel, when it talks about a Isha, a woman who's with a behemoth. So it says there it's Tevel also. So he says, what's this word Tevel? It's Amalei Kinyona Kadma. So the whole thing happened again like the first time around, that everything that Rebbe told him he obschlugged, that Rebbe said to him, "Well, you tell me." It's Amalei, and he said, Avid Lee, the Omalach, you have to do the same thing as last time in order to tell you. You have to dance and perform. So Luchayim is Ovat, so he did it. It's Omalei, so then he told him that Tevel, who the word Tevel is Tavlin Yeshba. Tavlin means, says, Tavlin Yeshba, is there a tam? Hotishkin tam, yeah? To have a beer with a behemoth instead of a person. My son, why would you want to be with the behemoth instead of the person? So hot nishkin tam. That's what tevel means. And then the third time was Amalei my zima. He said to him, it says over there also by the Arayus.
Is this part Kaporah Shailas just because he's had a few, or is this?
Because yesterday he said he was still brogues with Rebbe that he wasn't invited to the wedding.
Yeah.
So even though he sort of officially was Michael, but he still carried a bit of a brogues. And so I think he's decided that he was going to stir up Rebbe. And also he wanted to stir up Rebbe's son-in-law, as you'll see. So then he told him, what is the Pshat Zimo? It also says by Arayus when it talks about Isha Ubita, or a woman and her mother, or grandma and the mother-in-law, whatever, it says that it's a Zimo. It's what Zimo? Omalei. So Bar Kapora told Rebbe, Evid Kinyana Kadma, do again the same story. Have another, get your wife to pour me another cup of L'chaim and you do another dance. Is over, so he did it again. And he told him the word Zuma is an attribute of Zumahi. Zumahi, so the Ran explains it means that she gets pregnant, for example, doesn't know, because she's so promiscuous, she doesn't know from whom. So Zuma is a general thing for Arayus. So three times he asked him these things, and three times he made Rebbe dance and sort of humiliated him in order to get the answer. Is La Yachel ben Elosha Lemispol. So ben Elosha, the son-in-law, couldn't take it that his father-in-law was being so humiliated. Kam v'nafak hu v'intesei mitamon. So he and his wife got up and left in disgust. So that was the story of the wedding. It's almost like pulling the plug out of the band sort of thing. Yeah. Anyhow, my ben Elosha. What's the deal with Ben Elosha? We want to know a bit about him. He was very rich, it says. Where do we get the... how do we know he was rich? That he was really sort of peripheral to this story. But we mentioned before that he was very rich. Well, how come Ben Elosha was so rich? How do we know that he was rich? Ben Elosha spent a fortune on a haircut. So people thought that he was just being vain, so he paid a lot of money for a fancy haircut. So the Braisa says, no, he didn't do it for nothing. El Lahari spent his Persian Kohen Gadol. He was trying to teach people what the Kohen Gadol's haircut looked like, because the Kohen Gadol had a special haircut. Yeah, so therefore he was trying to demonstrate. This pasuk that they should keep their head... looking nice in Yecheskel, which is in the Haftorah of Parshas Moir, and the Moir talks about all the mitzvahs of Kohanim. So in the Haftorah we read this. What was it? Tana ke'en lulinus. He did a lulinus job. He ordered a lulinus number two. My lulinus. What's a lulinus? I'm Rav Yehuda. Tisparta yechidata, a unique haircut, a unique hairstyle. Hey Chidomi, what did this unique hairstyle look like? I'm a Rava Reish Shalzeh, but Tzadik Reish Shalzeh. That the end of each hair reached to the beginning of the next one. So it was exactly one layer of hair in each spot. There was no overlapping hairs. That's what the Kohen Gadol had to do also.
That's a fair bit of work.
Yeah, so that's why it cost a lot of money, because it was very labor-intensive. Okay, so that was the wedding. Now, back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah said that if a person says he's making a neder, not to have from tavshil, so we said it includes soft things, but not thick, loose things, but not thick things. And we said is mutter in dalas haramutza. So what is my dalas haramutza? What is this dalas haramutza? Amar Shmuel, kara karkuza. So dalas, of course, a pumpkin. What's haramutza? So Shmuel says it's named after the place where it comes from, a place from karkuza, and it never ripens properly, so it's always hard and thick. It's not, doesn't become soft. Rav Ashi Omar Dalas HaTumuna Beremetz. He says Remutza comes from the word remetz, which is like coals that heat things up, that the shirayim, the ashes of the coals, and therefore it's not called a tavshil. It's like in the barbecue, you've got the stuff at the bottom.
You put the potatoes
in the bottom of the coals, yeah. We have in Shabbos, we have the whole thing of Hatzmona, like in the fourth parak of Shabbos, you're not allowed to be matzmin, like bury your food on Friday to heat it up. And the reason is, Shema Yatzmin Beremetz, you might do it in something which is Moisif Hevel, and then it's cooking on Shabbos. Yeah? So So that's where we have the word remitz. Okay, Esavevina Ravashi. So that's what Ravashi says. Ravina asked Ravashi, how can you tell me that the las haramutza means the pumpkin buried in the coal? But we have a brisa that Nechemya Eimer, the las aramis, the Aramean pumpkin, he the las hamitzris, it's the same as the Egyptian one. In other words, all the Arabs are the same. Kilayim im hayivonis, and it's also kilayim, in other words, the same, it's a different, so the Aramean and the Mitzrayim one is the same, but it's kilayim with the Greek one. Well, we know Greece is different. So the Greek one is a different mean. And it's also kilayim im haramutza. It's also kilayim with the delas haramutza. So that tells you that ramutza is a different species. It's not just a normal pumpkin that's buried in coals. Because otherwise, why would it be kilayim with a pumpkin? It must be that the las ha-mitzris is different from the las ha-ramutz. It must be a different mean, otherwise it's not kilayim. So it sounds more like Shmuel's right, is tiyufta. So he didn't have an answer for that one. So tiyufta generally means ogeshlog. Okay, so that's with the pumpkins. Back in the Mishnah, this Mishnah seems to be a repetition, almost, of the last bit of the previous Mishnah. So there's different gesoys about what goes on here, but we'll just read it again. So again, we said in the previous Mishnah, someone makes a vow not to have anything which is maisa kedera, things that are made in a pot. Ein osur ella mimaisa resichta. So what that means is that he's ushering himself in things that are made from boiling up the pot. If he says that which goes down into the pot, so he doesn't say maiser kedera, he says yoyir likedera. So it's just anything that goes into a pot is then osur b'chol anase b'kedera. Then he becomes osur in things which are made in the kedera. So anase b'kedera means that means even if it's something which could be made in a kedera. Yeah, things are.
Does
things,
that mean actually has been?
No, things that are normally made in a kedera. Yeah, so therefore, even if you made it differently, but that mean is included in his neder. Okay, so that's slightly different from the words of the previous Mishnah, where the previous Mishnah said is osur b'chol hamizbashlin b'kedera. Yeah, medav tzchokhim, like Doyle Raskin used to say, tzrichim v'izbashlo b'mifsoim. Yeah, there it says kol hamizbashlin b'kedera, and here it says kol hamatnase b'kedera. Subtle difference. Says the Gemara Tanya, we learned in a brisa, hanoidim in hayoyir likdeira, someone who says that it's also for something that went into the pot, goes down into the pot, is also beyoyir liilfis. So they used to have, the custom was that things that were made in an ilfis is a different sort of pot, but they used to first put it into they would first cook it in a kedera. And then they would put it into the ilfis to finish the cooking. It's a different shape, so it's cooked differently somehow.
They half boiled it in the kedera, and then they finished the job in the ilfis.
Yeah, basically. So therefore, if he says yoyrid the kedera, so that means a yoyrid the ilfis is on to be osur. Why? Because it goes in the kedera first. So if it went into the ilfis, shekvar yorad the kedera kodem sheru the ilfis. That means by default it goes into the kedera before it goes into the ilfis, and therefore anything which is made in an ilfis, anything which is normally made in an ilfis is included in this neder, because things that are made in an ilfis go into a kedera first. Yeah, don't ask me why. This is the cooking lessons that is telling us. Now, if he says min hanase b'kedera, if he says hayoyrid l'kedera. If he says min hanase b'kedera, so nase is the pshat, the gemar bishul, yeah? So that which is normally finished off, you finish the cooking in the kedera, and therefore is mutter b'nase b'ilfis, even though it has a pre-cooking session in the kedera, but since the gemar of the bishul is in the ilfis, therefore it's not called nase b'kedera, yeah? And therefore the one which is made in the ilfis will be mutter. If he says min hanase b'ilfis, is also going to be mutter b'nase b'kedera, because that's talking about the gemar. If you say the word nase when it's done, Yeah, so what's done is either something that gets done, this particular recipe is either done in the Kedera or it's done in the Ilfis, but not both. So whichever one he says is Osir and the other one is Mutter. So that's the difference between Hayoyred and Hanasa. Now, Hanoyder min Hayoyred Latanur, someone makes a neder not to have what goes down into the oven. So what, even though he used the expression that which goes into the oven, ain't Osir Ela Bepas. It really means bread. Because when you say stuff made in an oven, you mean bread. But ve'im omar kol masa tanur alai. But if he said anything made in an oven, so hayoyrid means it's the derech, that which goes into an oven. But if he says anything made in the oven is also to me, is also b'chol anasit mitanur. That is going to be also in anything which is the gemar baking is done in the oven. Okay. Next Mishnah. A person makes a neder min hakovush. If he makes a neder and he uses that expression for that that which is pickled, I think is a translation of kovash usually.
It's soaked in.
Yeah, that's how you pickle something, no? Pickled. Is ein oser ella min a kovash shal yarek. So by default that means vegetable pickles. Not if you pickle something else. If he says kovash paramish any toyem, if he, instead of saying min ha kovash, he says kovash any toyim is osir b'chol akfushim. Then it means anything pickled. So the Ran brings here two pirushim. The differences in loshin, obviously, is first of all the first one which is only hayorik is hakovush. So the first pshat the Ran brings is the difference is a heya yadiyah. If you say the kovush, so the
knows.
Pickle. Yeah. If you say pickles, the pickles, you mean pickled cucumbers, yeah?
Standard
pickled
procedure.
Vegetables. If you just say pickled stuff bechlal, then it means anything that's pickled. So that's one way of distinguishing between the Reisha and the Sefer. And the other one is the Eni Toyim bit, yeah? So he says, the second way of learning it is that the difference between what's Mutter and what's not Mutter is when he uses the word Eni Toyim. So Eni Toyim, why did he have to add the extra words? He could have just said Koinim, whatever. Why does he add the words any toyim is to add on, to add stuff into the vowel, yeah? And therefore we say is also an ol kvushim, yeah? Is al derech zeh, if he says min hashaluk, if the expression is from that which is broiled, ena yasu ela min hashaluk shal basar. So that refers to broiled meat. The thing, or he doesn't say any toyim. Shaluk sh'eni toyim, if he says shaluk, that means without a hay, and he also says sh'ani toyim, is then also b'chol hashalukim. Then he means all of them. In the same way as the kovush, says the Gemara. Amar le Ravacha bereder Rav Evi le Ravashi. Amar di kovush. What if he uses a third expression? He says di kovush, which is di means that, like share. Yeah, that which is of kovush. My dishaluk my ditzali my dimaliach my heichin mashma. What does it mean if he says it like that? Tiboy. This is Yerushalmi dik, a word for a tekel. Yeah, it's we don't know the answer. Says the next Mishnah, min hatsoli, so this is sort of a continuation of the same thing. If he says min hatsoli, is again, if it's the hey yadiya, that's the overriding factor, or the fact that he doesn't say sheni toyim, is ein osir ella min hatsoli shel basar. So the minimum tsoli, the default tsoli is roasted meat. Divir Rabbi Yehuda. This is what Rabbi Yehuda says. It doesn't look like, it doesn't say that anybody argues, but could be that someone does. It's only Rabbi Yehuda says this. Soli sheni toyim, again the same thing, it's without a hay and it has the word sheni toyim, is then osur b'cholat sluyim, then it's osur in all roasted things. Al derech, we said in the previous Mishnah, yeah? So we had kovush, shaluk, tzoli, same deal. Min ha-maliach, and the fourth category, a salted thing, is ein osur min ha-maliach shel dag. So a normal maliach means George Marcus herring, yeah? So he's talking about a herring, but if a fish, a salted fish. But if he says Maliach Shani Toyim, so again there's no Hayadiyah, and according to the second Pshat he has the word Shani Toyim in there, is also b'chol ha-maluchim, anything that's very salty, it's a salty dish, so that is also. Now, so that's the thing about those four categories. Then we have dogim. What if he says fish, and dog is one fish, and dogim is many fish. So generally, when you have a big fish, you say, I'm eating dog. If you have, if you're eating little fish, sardines, I don't know, then you would say, I'm eating dogim for lunch. Yeah, so if you have, there used to be the shop Dagim down there. So they gave you small portions, I guess. So you have dog and Dagim, which is a big fish and a little fish. So if he says both, dog, Dagim, is Shani Toyim, is also Behen, Ben Gedel, and Ben Ketanim. Then is also whether it's big or small fish, Ben Meluchim, Ben Tefelim, whether it's salty, whether it's plain, unsalted, Ben Chayim, Ben Mevusholim, whether it's raw, whether it's cooked, Ben Chayim, Ben Mevusholim, La Shvirim, La Kayom. Umutter, Betris Trufa, but you can have scrambled fish, yeah, where you can't, you know, it's sort of all jumbled up, so it doesn't look like a fish. Uvitzir, and also the yoich, the what do you call yoich in English, the juice that comes out of the fish, the brine of a murius, and the other juice that comes with it. Yeah. Hanoida mina tzachno. So tzachno is where you have lots of fish mixed together, and some of them get scrambled, but most of them are not. So it's a big mixture of a fish thing, a pot of fish or whatever, and you don't cut them all up, but some of them end up scrambled and some of them don't. So it's a mixture of scrambled fish and not scrambled fish. It's also betris trufa. So when he uses that expression, that means tris trufa means where the whole thing is scrambled, so it's not included in that neder, because that's not called tzachno. But it's muta betziru murius. Sorry, I'm saying bad. Also betris trufa, that does include the tris trufa. Yeah, because a tzachna has some scrambled fish in it, so therefore scrambled fish is included in the vow. But mutter betziru murius, it doesn't include the stuff that comes out of the fish. Hanoidim et tris trufa, if he says he's not going to, he makes an error not to eat tris trufa, is also betziru murius, then he's also even in the stuff that comes out of it. So when you scramble it, you get the juice out as well, as we will discuss in the Gemara. Tanya learned in a brisa, Reb Shimon ben Elazar Omer, dog shani toyim, if he uses the word dog, singular, fish, a fish, a big fish, is also a bigadolim, muta biktanim. So the expression dog a person uses, a chalti dog means I ate a big fish, and therefore when he makes a neder about a dog, he's mutter to eat small fish. Dogah shani toyim, but he uses the, so in the Mishnah we talked about dogim. Now we talk about the word dogah. The word dogah we have, of course, in Chumash, by the makas dom, it says hadogasher by your ear. So the fish, so doga is a fish. Another word for fish is in English, of course, plural and singular is all the same. So he says dogasher nitoyim is also biktanim mutar bigdolim. So doga, he says, means lots of small fish, yeah, and therefore it's also only on the small ones. If he says dog doga, so he said both is shani toyim is also bengdolim bengtanim. Okay, so that's similar to the Mishnah, which said Dagim. So Reb Shimon Elazar says the same thing about Dogo. Omelet of Papa Labai, of Papa Asabaya, Mimai the dog should tell him Godalhu. How do you know that when he says dog, it means a big fish? Dichsiv. So he says, because he answered, because it says in the Pasuk, by Yoina, by Yaman Hashem dog Godal, Hashem prepared a big fish, known as a whale sometimes, Livlo Yas Yoina, to swallow Yoina. So there it says, dog, god, a fish, a dog is big. I, one second, Mark, see, you're telling me dog is big and dog god is small. Why? Because of Yoina. But by Yoina himself it says, Mark, see, spala Yoina al Hashem alaykum, may a dog god. Yoina was inside a dog god also. It's the same fish, yeah? So therefore, it wasn't a different kettle of fish. So therefore he should, that's a dog god is also a big fish. So he says, no, halei kasha, that contradiction is not a problem. Because Dilma palte dog god, lebole dog cotton. First he was swallowed by a big fish, and maybe the big fish spat him out, and he was swallowed up then by a small fish. Yeah. The Ran says that the definition of big and small doesn't say what's big and small over here. The Ran brings that the definition of big and small is a litra. That's the, if it's more than a litra size, that's called big. So the Ran says, even if it was re-swallowed by a smaller fish, it would have had to be bigger than a litra to fit Yoina in it.
It had to be bigger than a Yoina.
But he says it could be that it's called, compared to the first one, it's called small. So doga could mean small from that context. Anyway, Nishkin Raya, Ella, so he says a better kasha. It says by the fish in the Makas Dom in Egypt, it says Vahadoga Asher Bayer Mesa. The fish in the river died. So there when it says the doga, what, Ketani Mesu Gadurim Loy Mesu? It's referring to Afkit, the small fish. The small fish died and the big fish, the whole sea turned into blood. So only the small fish died and the big fish didn't. Yeah? Presumably the big fish died too. And it says doga, so doga seems to be a generic thing for small and big. Ella, doga mashma gadelamu mashma katanim. You're right. Doga, as in chumish, can mean big or small. But benedorim, halaycha chalosha benayodam. Benedorim, you have to go by the colloquial term. And colloquially, dog, a person says dog when he means a big one, and he says doggo when he means a small.
If we've already established this cloud that by Nadarim we use Lashem Ne'odim, man, we've established it a few pages ago.
Yeah, but we still want to know what.
Bring Sukkim as a raya.
Yeah. I suppose it's a raya if you. I think your going in position is that Lashem Ne'odim will be the same as Lashem Chumash.
Sometimes it's different.
So that's the answer he has to give. But generally, if you're trying to work out what's Lashem Ne'odim and you don't know, yeah, what does a person mean when he says this? So in the absence of any other evidence, you would say it's the same as what the Pesukim say. If you have evidence to the contrary, then you'll say Lashem Ne'odim. Yeah. Your question's better than my answer. Hanoda minat tzachna. So we said tzachna. Tzachna was where you had a mixture of scrambled fish with whole fish. Is Amal that Avinu that Avashi Amal Haraya like Tzichin Mai? What about? It doesn't use the word Sachna. He used the word Tzichin. So that is Tiboi. Tzichin is another word.
Same type of thing.
No, Tzichin is more like squished fish. I think he's saying, yeah. So you have fish. Whole fish, you have scrambled fish, and then you have smushed fish, and then you have yoich. There's all these different madregas. So that's what he's saying to you, boy. All the different fish. You know what they say, but mokim shein anoshim is a herring echel of fish. Yeah, okay, so next Mishnah, we're nearly up to today's daf. Says the Mishnah, Hanoidim min acholov mutter bekum. If someone makes a vow not to have milk, he's allowed to have. I think it's is it whey or curds? I always get, all I know is
the watery stuff.
Curds and whey is what the spider is what little Miss Muffet was eating. So the
Rashi says it's mashke.
It's liquid. Ah, so it's whey. Mm. Is that what whey is?
Yeah, whey is a liquid.
Okay. And the curds are the solid bits. Yeah. Okay, so it's whey. So if he says milk, it does not mean whey because that's not called cholov. But Rabbi Yossi says it is part of chalav, and therefore it's osur as well. No, but this is not the milk part, this is the skim part.
That's right, the watery part.
The watery part. Yeah, is that what whey is? Min akum, if he says min akum, that he's not having hanoah from kum, is mutter b'chalav, then he's allowed to have milk. Abashal oimer, hanoid min akvino, if he says gvino, say cheese, is osur ba, then he's not allowed to have cheese, bein melucha utfela, whether it's salted fish. See, unsalted fish, it's all inclusive. Hanoidim in a bosar, if he says is neder not to have meat, is mutter b'roitiv of a kippah. Roitiv is the gravy, and the kippah is the small pieces of meat, the little offshoots that fall off and end up at the bottom of the pot, as Ran says. Rabbi Yehuda oiser. Rabbi Yehuda says not. That's part of meat, and that's osar. Omer Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda brings a raya l'chayra, maisa v'osar later of tarfin. So the Ran says that Rabbi Yehuda here is not going on meat because you don't cook eggs with the meat. He's actually going back on Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi asserted the Rabbi Yossi asserted the kum. Yeah. So he said that eggs that were cooked. So the Rashi or whoever this is says it's referring to Takia, the eggs cooked with meat. And the Ran says, he's talking about back on Rabbi Yossi. But what he's saying is the eggs that were cooked with it, so even though you say, let's say it's meat or milk, whatever it is, if you cook something together with it in the pot, that's all called the meat. Yeah? So Rabbi Yossi is saying that that's, the whole thing is awesome. Yeah? So if you make a stew or a goulash or whatever, yeah? If it's fleshy cholent. So that's the pot of meat. Huh? You can have part of chont. If you have a pot, the meat pot, but you chuck other stuff in there, it's still called the meat pot, says Rabbi Yehuda. And therefore, no matter what's in there, is going to be also, Reb Tarfon says. So he tried to bring a raya that when a person makes a vow not to have any meat, it includes all the stuff he chucks into the cholent. That's all part of the meat. So that's what he said. Is on reloy, they said back to him, Kein hadavar, that would be true, Amosai when bisman shayemer basar ze alai. If he says that this piece of meat I'm making osur on myself, so now this piece is a chaticha of isur. Yeah, shanoidim in adavar. If a person makes a vow on a particular piece, then isariv ba'acha. Then that piece which is now osur became got mixed up with all the other with other pieces. Is im yesh by benosin tam, if is enough to give a taste. In other words, it's not bottle b'shishim or whatever. Is then osur. Okay, the Ran goes into a very lengthy debate here about min b'she'enoi minoi and min b'minoi, and if you have time one day we'll do it, but I don't have time now.
In the next cycle, the Yedorim will come out in the summertime.
Yeah, okay. It's a very interesting Ran. I did it last night, if you have a chance. Anoida min ha'yayin. Someone who makes a vow not to have wine is mutter betavshul sheyesh betam yain. He's allowed to have a cooked item that has the taste of wine in it. So if a little bit of wine gets poured in and it's mixed in and you don't see the wine, that is not included in this vow of not having wine. Amar konim yain zeh shani toyim. But if he says, I'm not going to have this cup of wine or whatever, and then the nafla tafshul, that wine fell into the cooked dish, is then in yesh by benaisim tam, if there's sufficient quantity of wine to add taste to the dish, I raise it also, then it is forbidden, because then he made the wine itself a piece of isur, and if a piece of isur mixes with anything else, tam, then it is also. Okay, now the Gemara asks a raminu. Now we have a contradiction. Minha adoshim, a person makes a vow not to have lentils, is osur ba'ashishim. So ashishim, it says, you fried your lentils in honey. That's the way the Ram brings you Yishalmi. Lentils fried in honey is, so that's osur, because that's still lentil. There's still lentils, it's just fried in honey. And Rabbi Yosi is matir. So what's Rabbi Yosi doing matir? Rabbi Yosi is the one who's stricter. And he says, if you make a vow not to have milk, you're not allowed to have the whey. So if you're not allowed to have lentils, if you make lentils, it's for sure fried lentils and honey is even more close to being the same thing. Yeah, so if you sure should say it's osur. And it's a gemara like kasha. Mark yasrei. When the argument about milk is all dependent on the lotion of what people use. But asher the rabbanon kari lechalava chalava lekuma kuma, in the chachamim of Rabbi Yosi, where they call milk and they call whey. But asid Rabbi Yosi, but in Rabbi Yosi's place, lakuma nami kari lehukuma dichalava. In Rabbi Yosi's place, they didn't say whey; they said whey, milk whey, milky whey, whatever. Yeah, so they used the word milk in there. It was whey of milk, so they didn't distinguish it as something completely different from milk. It was like the part of the milk, if you like. So therefore, that's why he says it's also it's included in the vow not to have milk. Tanya will learn a brisa hanoidim in hachalav mutar bakum. So this is like the chachamim, one who makes a neder not to have milk is allowed to have whey. Min hakum, if he makes a vow not to have whey, mutar bakhalav, allowed to have milk. Min hachalav, if he says milk is mutar bakvina, he's allowed to have cheese. And min hakvina, if he makes a vow not to have cheese, is mutar bakhalav, he's allowed to have milk. Min haroitiv, if he says from the gravy, is mutar bakipa, then he's allowed to have the little pieces of meat that fall to the bottom. If he says min akipa, that he's not allowed to have the little pieces of meat that fall to the bottom, is mutar bereit, if he's allowed to have gravy. Im omar basa ze olai, if he said this piece of meat is osur to me, that means the piece of meat itself becomes osur, is osur boy, then he's not allowed to have the meat. Uve roitvay and the gravy, uve kipa and the little pieces. Hanoda min ayayim makes a vow not to have wine, is mutar betav sheyesh betam yayin, is allowed to have a cooked thing which has a taste of wine in it. Amar kinyan yayin zesh ani toyim, but if he says this particular bit of wine is osur, v'nafal asechatav shon, it fell into the dish, im yesh betam yayin, if it has a taste of wine in it, I raise it also, then it is forbidden. We're stopping here. Looks like it. Okay, we're nearly caught up.